Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we're going to begin our reading in verse 14. And most of our focus for the message will be in verse 22 and following. But John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, this is the reading of God's word. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." After this, Jesus and his disciples went to the Judean countryside, where he spent time with them and baptized. John also was baptizing at Anon near Salim, because there was plenty of water there. People were coming and being baptized, since John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then a dispute arose between John's disciples and a Jew about purification. So they came to John and told him, "Rabbi, the one you testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." John responded, "No one can receive anything unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah,' but I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom. But the groom's friend, who stands by and listens for him, rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and yet no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has affirmed that God is true. For the one whom God sent speaks God's words, since he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In this passage, we see a very clear delineation between two alternatives: those who believe, those who do not believe. If you believe, you have forgiveness, you have eternal life. If you do not believe, you are under God's wrath. But it's very important to note that there are different kinds of belief. And not all faith is saving faith. At the end of chapter 2, we looked at the fact that, this is chapter 2, verses 23 and following, while he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. Jesus, however, would not entrust himself to them, since he knew them all. And because he did not need anyone to testify about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Well, now, why wouldn't he trust himself to those who believed in his name? Because the kind of faith that they exercised was not a real trust. If you were here when we talked about it, you may recall the illustration of the fellow who stretched a line across Niagara Falls and then walked back and forth on that tightrope. People were amazed. Then he did a wheelbarrow in front of him. People were more amazed. Then he put a load of stuff in the wheelbarrow, and people were more amazed. Then he asked how many believed that he could push a wheelbarrow with a person in it across Niagara Falls. People raised their hands. They had seen one feat of daring after another, and yes, I believe you can do that. And so he said, all right, you come get in the wheelbarrow. Oh, no. There's an intellectual kind of faith that says, yeah, that's plausible to me. Yeah, I can accept that. Yeah, I think that's true. That is not saving faith. Saving faith involves trust. It involves depending on him and on him alone. Remember the Galatians? Paul says, if you receive circumcision in order to try and be justified before God, you're cut off from Christ. You can't be saved trusting in Jesus plus what you're going to do. You have to come to the point of realizing there is a holy God and we have broken his law and we deserve his wrath, and our only hope was that Jesus took our place. He paid the debt we owed, and he paid it all. And so we trust in him and in him alone. Pray that God will show you the state of your heart, will show you whether or not you're really trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation. Because while you have breath, you need to settle that issue. You don't get a redo after you die. So, we're all delighted with John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not get what we deserve, but will have everlasting life. Because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world would be saved through him. This life is offered to all. Whosoever will may come. And yet the natural response of the heart of man is to say, no. Well, where do you get that, Pastor? Well, a whole bunch of passages, but let's just stick with John chapter 3. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. That's the natural human response to God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No, I'm doing okay. That's our natural response, because in our natural state, read the book of Romans, we are at enmity against God. We are hostile toward God. We're not out searching for truth, trying to find our way. And the first glimmer of light we go to. Instead, we hide. And God comes in search of man. Adam, where are you? Is this because God doesn't know? Is this because the omniscient one wasn't aware of what had happened until Adam confessed? No, God asks these questions because we need to stop running and trying to hide, and we need to get honest and confess the truth about our condition. And the fact of the matter is, every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only hope we have is Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
In this passage, our focus, as I said, is in verse 22 and following. John's disciples came to him and they said, "Rabbi, the one you testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing and everyone is going to him." We have a problem with our business model. You told everybody that this guy is greater than you are and they're believing it. They're starting to follow him. The crowds are going his way and we're dwindling. What are we going to do? Folks, let me ask you a question. If everybody forgot your name, but they trusted Jesus, would that be okay with you? John says, he must increase, I must decrease. This is what is supposed to happen. Let me just tell you. The only thing that ultimately is going to matter is not who gets your collection of whatever it was. I've got some wonderful old books. Oh, my goodness. I am so blessed. My great-grandfather got books when he was studying in Edinburgh in the 1850s. That's cool. That is really, really cool. Well, you've got seven kids. Who are you going to give them to? What if they all burn up in a fire? If my kids or my grandkids are going around focused on that book or that book or this really old Bible that my father did his sermon notes in and you pretty much need a magnifying glass to read them, okay? If they're focused on that and distracted from the Lord himself, that would be utterly tragic. But if all those books burned up in a fire, and my kids and my grandkids are trusting in Jesus, hallelujah, we're doing fine, thank you very much. Nothing else lasts. Nothing else is of eternal worth. It's our relationship with Jesus. And John the Baptist said to his followers, don't worry about what's happening. The purpose of our ministry was to point people to him. Let me tell you something. The purpose of our ministry is to point people to him. That's what it's about. On those rare occasions when someone says to me, "Man, I don't know how you do it. I could never have gotten that out of that passage." I'm disappointed. They think they're paying me a compliment, but all it means is I missed the mark. But on those occasions, when people say to me, "Man, I hadn't seen that before, but you're exactly right. That's what it says." I'm thrilled because I'm not the one with the answers. God is. And this is his word. And you can have your own copy in your language and read it for yourself and talk with the author and say, help me to see what you want me to see. God will show you what you need to know if you want to do His will. And my goal as a pastor is to make you less and less dependent on me. Tons of ministries are designed to make people dependent. That is not what God calls any of us to. The goal of John's ministry was to point to Jesus. And it worked. John's going to be thrown in prison soon. John's going to end up being decapitated. But that wasn't the end, because Jesus was already becoming famous, and he is the one that John was supposed to be pointing people to. Passing the baton. If you don't succeed in doing that, you lose the race. Doesn't matter how fast you are. This is a relay. And you know how many generations it takes to lose a continent? Just one. Just one. Well, this text goes on to say that Jesus, the one who comes from above, is above all. It says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. All things. The Gospel of John began with the fact that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. And here we see again in John 3, that everything belongs to him. Jesus is not just somebody who's close to God. Jesus is God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and lived among us. That's who we're talking about here. And that's why our response to Jesus is the watershed between those who have life and those who don't have life. The one who believes in the Son, that is, trusts in the Son, that is, depends on the Son, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. Not will have eternal life, has eternal life. It is ours now. It has already begun. You've already passed from death to life. But the one who rejects the Son, let me give you an alternate translation of that, that I think is more to the point. The one who does not obey the Son. Obey? Really? Is that? Yeah. Yes. Yes. The one who does not believe in the Son, the one who rejects the Son, the one who does not obey the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. There are some popular preachers claiming to be evangelical, saying that the wrath of God is, some of them are saying, that's something we shouldn't talk about because it turns people off. It frightens people. It turns people away. It makes people uncomfortable. It is bad marketing. We don't want to talk about the wrath of God. You know why we talk about the wrath of God? Because God talks about the wrath of God. That's why we speak on this. That's why I pointed out. It's because I feel like John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness. The wrath of God hasn't gone away, but there is an escape. There is a way to avoid God's wrath. His name is Jesus. He's already borne the wrath of God for all who trust in him. But those who do not trust in him, it doesn't say the wrath of God will come on them. It says the wrath of God remains on them. The wrath of God remains. That is the standard condition of people who don't even realize. In our natural state, we are hostile toward God, and the only hope for any of us is for God to give us new birth. That's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. That's why we must be born again. We need a whole new life. We need a brand new heart. We need for the heart of stone to be taken away and replaced with a heart of flesh. We can't just learn a set of principles and now try and work harder at doing the right thing. Our best effort, our righteousness, is as filthy rags in God's sight. Jesus told a story about a man who gave a banquet, and the invited guests didn't want to come. And so he sent his servants out and compelled people to come in. And so people who weren't originally invited get to come to the meal. And it's a banquet. And isn't that wonderful? And if the story ended there, we could all just smile and go have lunch. But Jesus puts this other little twist on the story. And that is, the host goes into the place where the people are seated, and he sees a person there who's not wearing wedding garments. He decided to just come as you are. Okay. Oh no, is this going to be about wardrobe on Sundays? No, not at all. Because I can't tell by looking at you, no matter what you're wearing, I can't tell whether or not you're robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you see, the host provided a wardrobe for the people who came to the dinner. And somebody decided, no, that's not my style. No, I'm comfortable with what I've got. I think I'm nice. I think I'm okay. You just keep that, okay? You can give that to someone else, okay? I'm just going to come as I am. You can come to him for cleansing just as you are. But you must receive by faith the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And your trust must be in him and what he has done for you. If you're thinking that God is winking at sin, you have completely misunderstood the gospel. If you want to know how seriously God hates sin, look at the cross and realize that's what happened to his beloved son when he bore our sin. But if you think you've messed up so badly that God couldn't let you come and dine at his table, oh, have I got good news for you. Jesus came to save sinners. And if you know that you cannot fix yourself, but you want him to change you and make you new, I have great news for you. You're just the kind of person that Jesus came to save. And you can come into God's presence robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he welcomes you as his dearly loved child. And you are made a joint heir with Jesus. That, beloved, is the good news. And that is what this is about. Do we appreciate the gospel if we don't recognize God's wrath? No. But it doesn't stop with God's wrath. Yes, God's wrath is the alternative. But eternal life and peace and joy forever are the gift that God offers to all who trust in Jesus. So again, I ask you honestly, ask the Lord to show you. Are you trusting in him? Are you trusting in him alone?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.